Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. And this morning for our study, we're going to begin by reading 11 verses, excuse me, 8 verses from Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to begin in verse 10, and we're going to read all the way down to verse 17. And when you have it, what if you let me know by saying amen? Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10 through verse 17, this is what the Apostle Paul tells us. He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." And we're going to end our reading in verse 17 for this morning. This morning we're going to finish up or continue the study we began last week, which we titled "The Battle, The Battle." Soon enough, every Christian, every born-again Christian, they come to the realization that the Christian walk, it's not a playground, but a battle. In spite of much misconception, the Christian walk, it's not a walk in the park. It's not a vacation, but it's a battle. It's a war. It's a fight. As followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we find ourselves right in the middle of a battle. We find ourselves waging war against the enemies of God. The scriptures teach us that Satan and all his demonic forces and army, they are determined to destroy our lives. The Bible describes Satan as a roaring lion who's walking around seeking whom he may devour. Satan, he's not a mythological figure. He's not a fairy tale or a make-believe character. But the Bible teaches us that Satan is real. He's a fallen angel who is determined to destroy our lives. He's willing to do whatever it takes to distract us from the things of the Lord and to destroy our relationship with the Lord. Every day we find ourselves in the middle of this battle as Christians. And in order to stand up against this enemy we face, the Bible teaches us that we need to put on the whole armor of God, which God has provided us with. We got to take hold and put on all this spiritual equipment that God has provided his children with. And here in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul begins to describe for us this armor. this armor of God, which is available to us as believers. Now, when you read Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, and specifically Ephesians chapter 6, it's important that you know a little bit about the background of the letter. Paul, he was writing this letter as he was imprisoned in Rome. It's what we call a prison epistle, one of four that we read about in the New Testament. And so Paul, as he was imprisoned in Rome, he would have been guarded by a Roman soldier day and night. And even some scholars teach us that he could have even been chained to a Roman soldier. And so Paul was writing this letter to the church of Ephesus, and day and night he was staring and he was interacting with this guard, with this Roman soldier. And so this is what Paul did. He took the armor of the Roman soldier and he began to illustrate spiritual truth with it. He began to apply this soldier and apply his armor to the Christian walk. And he begins to describe to us spiritual truths and spiritual virtues that are needed to stand against the enemy. Paul as a general, as one of the good generals in the army of the Lord, he begins to teach us how to have success in battle. And this is what he tells us. He says, you need to put on the whole armor of God. In other words, he's telling us, you need to apply these truths to your Christian walk. If you want to have success, if you want to stand against this enemy, you need to listen up and you need to apply these truths to your Christian walk. Because that's all the armor of God is. It's not so much going to a store and buying some pieces of metal and putting it on. That's not the idea behind it. The idea is there's biblical truths, there's spiritual principles that as Christians we need to apply to our lives. We need to practice them. And so here in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul begins to describe to us the armor of God. And last week we began to look at some of the pieces of this armor. And specifically, we looked at the first three. And this morning, I thought that we would go through them briefly by way of review before we finish up with the final three. And so let's look at the first piece that Paul described, found in verse 14. If you can look at it with me, look at what Paul says. He says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. And so the first piece that Paul teaches us is the belt of truth, that we need to gird our waist, that we need to wrap truth around us. And that simply speaks of that we need to be grounded and we need to be held together by the truth. Our lives must be founded on the truth of the Word of God. Jesus said in John chapter 17, verse 17, he said, Father, sanctify them by your word is truth. And so the first thing we need to do is we need to have a foundation in the Word. We need to be grounded, steadfastly firm in the Word of God. Because if there's one thing Satan wants us to do, is he wants to destroy our foundation. If there's one thing Satan wants to do, he wants us to cause, to doubt the Word of God. He wants to shake our foundation. He wants to remove our belt. Because if the belt goes, everything else goes with it. And so first, as Christians, we need to be grounded in the Word of God. We need to be grounded in the truth. Because if you have a strong foundation, you might bend, but you will not break. Amen. If you got a strong foundation, and if you're built on the rock, the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ, you might bend, but you will not break. And so first we read about the belt of truth. Let's look at the second piece that we looked at, and it's also found in verse 14. This is what Paul continues to tell us. He said, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. And so the second piece that Paul teaches us to put on is the breastplate of righteousness. That simply means that we need to practice righteousness and integrity. We need to make sure that our lives are protecting us from Satan instead of exposing us to Satan's attack. Our conduct is so important. How are you living on a daily life? Is your conduct helping you or is your conduct hurting you? Those who walk in integrity, they walk securely. That's what Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9 teaches us. The safest thing you can do is the right thing. That's the safest thing you can do. You never have to be nervous. You never have to be scared. You never have to be paranoid by doing the right thing. That's the safest thing you can do. The Bible teaches us that if you walk in integrity, you walk securely. You walk securely, practicing righteousness. It's a breastplate that protects us, that guards our heart from Satan. That's really what the breastplate did. It guarded the soldier's vital organs from the attack of the enemy. And so as you practice righteousness, it's going to protect your heart from the attack of the enemy. How important it is that we practice righteousness. If you practice righteousness as a Christian, you have nothing to worry about. But if you're practicing deceit and sin, you have everything to worry about. Because soon enough, your sin will find you out. How many of you know that? A good example of that is Tiger Woods. I'm sure you're all aware of Tiger Woods, of what's going on. And I don't mean to talk about Tiger Woods this morning, but that's a good example. That over time, you might think you can cover things up, but eventually sin will be exposed. That's the nature of sin. Sin has to be exposed. It has to be revealed. And Tiger Woods is a good example of that. We need to pray for Tiger Woods. He needs to understand that Buddhism is not the cure for his addiction, but Jesus Christ is the cure for his addiction. Amen. Let's look at the third piece of equipment. And this is what Paul tells us in verse 15. He says, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And so the third piece of equipment is that we need to prepare our feet with the gospel of peace. We need to constantly be prepared and ready to share the gospel, the good news of what Jesus Christ has done. How through his cross, we're able to have peace with God. And as we share our faith, as we preach the gospel, as we testify of the Lord, it brings strength to our Christian walk. There's something about evangelizing. There's something about sharing your faith that it brings energy. It brings strength to your Christian walk. And if you don't believe me, I challenge you to try it. Share your faith. And you're going to see that something happens, that you get energy, you get strength, you get encouraged every time you talk about Jesus. Every time you share the good news of what Jesus has done, you receive strength from the Lord. And so these are the three pieces of armor that we looked at last week. And this morning we're going to finish up and we're going to look at the final three pieces of the armor of God here in Ephesians chapter 6. And so let's look in verse 16 and let's look at the fourth piece. And this is what Paul says in verse 16. He says, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And so the fourth piece of armor that Paul mentions is what we like to call the shield of faith. The shield of faith. Now, a Roman soldier, when he would go out to war, he would carry a very large rectangular shape into battle. Historians tell us that the shield was probably about 2.5 feet wide and 4 feet long. It was this enormous shield that reached from his chin to his knees. And the shield was such an important component in the Roman army because through this shield, the soldier was completely able to hide behind it and protect himself from any arrows or any stones or spears that their enemy threw at them. And even if you study a little bit about the Roman army, historians teach us that their enemies, they used to mock the soldiers because they used to say that every time they went into battle, they would bring a door with them because the shield was so big. And so all their enemies used to kind of mock them and say, look at these soldiers bringing out a door out to war. You know, it's interesting. The word for shield in the Greek, it finds its root in the Greek word for door. And so as the Roman soldiers went out to war, they had complete faith and complete trust that their shield was going to guard them and protect them from all the attacks of the enemy. Their faith was in that shield, that no matter what came against them or no matter what was thrown at them, that shield was going to protect them and guard them. And so with that idea, Paul teaches us and commands us, take up the shield of faith. Take up the shield of faith. What is that talking about? Well, that's talking about a continuous trust and belief in the Lord. That as Christians, we must constantly depend on the Lord. Our faith needs to always be on the promises of the Lord and on the person of the Lord. You know, faith is such a powerful resource that God has made available to all Christians. Faith is such a powerful weapon that we have. And it's not that faith is a weapon in and of itself, but it's our faith in God. It's our trust in God. It's the object of faith that makes it so powerful. And as Christians, we must never make the mistake of putting our faith or trust on something else or someone else other than the Lord. We must never make that mistake, because the moment we start trusting in something else or someone else other than the Lord is the moment we put ourselves in great risk. It's the moment that the shield comes down and we expose ourselves to the attacks and to the fiery darts of the enemy. Our faith and our trust must always be in the Lord. He's the only one that can help us. He's the only one that can protect us and keep us and sustain us. Trust in Him. Trust in Him. Don't put your trust in man. Don't put your trust in money. Don't even put your trust in yourself. But put your trust in the Lord. Everyone else will fail you or let you down, but Jesus will never fail you. He will never let you down. The Bible tells us that when we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. The Bible teaches us that those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. The Bible teaches us that it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. The Bible teaches us, as for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. Listen to this, Psalms 18:30. He is a shield to all those who trust in Him. God is a shield. He's a protection. He's a refuge to all those who trust in Him. And so, as a Roman soldier, as he hid behind his shield and protected himself from the attacks of his enemies, we need to hide behind God and find protection in Him. Regardless of what you're going through, regardless of what attack, what assault, what danger, what frustration you might find yourself in, don't forget the Lord. Don't lose track. Don't lose focus of Jesus. But continuously trust in Him. Trust in God. God is so much bigger than any attack, than any storm, than any giant you might be confronted with. God is so much bigger. Any temptation, any struggle, any depression, discouragement that you might be battling, God is bigger. God is bigger. I don't know how big your God is, but my God is so much bigger. So much bigger. The God of the Bible, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's so much bigger than anything we will face in this lifetime. And He'll give us the strength. He'll give us the courage. He'll give us the ability that we need to face the giants in life. In life, you're going to face many, many giants. You're going to face giants that are going to be bigger, badder, and stronger than you. Giants who are going to bring fear. But as you face these giants, you must never forget the Lord. And you must trust in Him that He is going to bring deliverance. God will give you the strength to overcome the giants you face. You know, the best example of that truth is the story of David and Goliath. That is such a powerful story. I think it's a story that everyone knows. And if you don't, this morning I'm going to share a little point of it for your benefit. The Bible teaches us in 1 Samuel chapter 17 that there was a warrior, and his name was Goliath of Gath. And the Bible begins to describe this warrior to us. It tells us that he was over 9 feet tall. Now, if you think I am tall, I'm 6 feet, about 6 feet three. Add 3 more feet to me, and that's Goliath, 9 feet tall. The Bible teaches us that his armor was made completely of bronze, and that it weighed probably 126 pounds. Can you imagine that Goliath's armor weighed more than probably all of the sisters here this morning? Not only that, but Goliath's shield was so big that he had someone who was in charge of carrying his shield around. And this was this warrior that the Bible describes for us in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Goliath of Gath. And the Bible teaches us that as he challenged the army of Israel, that all the Israelites, that they were afraid, that they were terrified of Goliath. They understood that they were facing a giant who was bigger, who was stronger, and who was better than they were. And they were afraid. They were paralyzed in fear. And that's what the enemy likes to do. He likes to bring these giants who are going to paralyze us in fear. He likes to see us afraid, terrified, and fearful. He likes to see us oppressed by fear. And that what was going on with the Israelites. They were terrified of this giant. But the Bible tells us that there was one Israelite who was not afraid of the giant. And it wasn't the king, but it was a young shepherd boy by the name of David. David placed his faith and trust in God. David knew God. And because he knew God, he understood how big God was. He understood that Goliath was nothing compared to God. That Goliath was nobody. That Goliath was small compared to his God. And David arrives on the battlefield and he sees this giant. He sees this giant challenging and terrifying the armies of Israel. And right away, David, filled with zeal for God, he was offended. And he said, you know what, don't worry, I'll go face him. I'll do battle. I'll accept the challenge. And right away, everybody started discouraging David. And they said, no, he's too big. And you're just a boy. You're just a child. He's a man of war since his youth. You can't do it. You can't take the giant. You can't put him down. They were looking at things from their earthly lens. But David was looking at things through his spiritual lenses. And he understood how big his God was. And with all faith and with all trust in God, he approached the giant. And this is what he said. He said, you come against me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts. I come against you in the name of Jehovah, the creator of the heavens and the earth and the seas and all that is in them. I come against you in the name of the Lord. And the Bible teaches us that with one sling from a slingshot, David slayed the giant. One stone, one slingshot brought down Goliath of Gath. The giant, he was not much of a challenge for the true and living God. You know, when you read 1 Samuel chapter 17, if you read it through the earthly lens, when you read it, you think to yourself, poor David. He didn't have a chance with that giant. Poor David. That giant, he's going to destroy him. But if you read it through spiritual lenses, you say, poor Goliath. He never had a chance. Poor Goliath. He was no match for the God of Israel. And as you believe and as you trust in God, any giant you might face, you will have the victory. Not because you're strong and powerful and spiritual, but because God is strong. Because God is powerful. Because God is faithful. And this morning I asked the question, are you facing a giant? This morning, are you in the midst of a storm? Are you being attacked by the enemy? This morning, what condition did you come? Are you going through something that only you know about? Are you struggling? Are you battling in your Christian walk? If you are, I would just tell you, trust in the Lord. He will be your shield. He will be your refuge. And He will be your hiding place. Just trust in the Lord. Don't trust in yourself. Don't trust in your own strength. Don't trust in the pastor or somebody from church. Trust in God. There is nothing impossible for Him. Amen. Amen. Trust in God. And so Paul tells us that the fourth piece of armor we need to put on is the shield of faith. And that speaks of a continuous trust and faith in God. And as we do that, God will protect us from all the giants we might face. Let's look at the next piece of equipment. And it's found in verse 17. And this is what Paul continues to tell us. He says, and take the helmet of salvation. Take the helmet of salvation. And so the fifth piece of armor that Paul mentions is what we like to call the helmet of salvation. Now, historians tell us that the Roman soldiers had the best helmet of all the ancient world. It was an extremely important piece in the armor of the soldier because it protected the head. And how many know that the head is very important to protect? The helmet, it was the final piece of the defensive armor that a soldier would put on. And a soldier would never go out to battle without his helmet. You would never find a trained Roman soldier fighting a battle without his helmet on. And so with that in mind, Paul teaches us to put on the helmet of salvation. And I really think that's speaking of our minds being controlled and governed by God. It's so important that our mind is controlled by God. Because one of the main targets of the enemy is the mind. Satan loves to attack our minds. That's one of his main targets. That's the place where we're most vulnerable. That's the place where it's most exposed. And Satan wants to attack our minds. You see, as humans, we only do two things as humans. We think and we act. That's all we do. We think and we act. And Satan knows that if he controls the way we think, he can control the way we act. And so he's always trying to attack our thoughts. He's always trying to attack our minds in order that he might influence our actions. He's always trying to throw things in our mind, in our head, temptations, lustful thoughts, greed, whatever you want to add to the list. Satan is always trying to attack our minds in order that he might influence our actions. You see, Satan, he wants to see us depressed. He loves that. When he sees Christians depressed, Satan wants to see us discouraged. He wants to see us down. He wants to see us saddened. Satan wants to see us deceived. Satan wants to see us distracted. And the place where he can make this happen is the mind. That's where he can get us. That's where he can influence our actions. That's where he can influence our Christian walk, is the mind. And that's why it's so important that we put on the helmet of salvation. It's so important that we constantly guard and protect our minds. We have to renew our minds daily with the Word of God. You know, in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, Paul tells us this. He says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23, Paul would say this, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." It's so important that we're constantly filling our mind with the Word of God. It's so important that we're daily reading the Word, studying the Word, hearing the Word, and meditating on the Word. I love what Psalms chapter 1 teaches us. It says, "Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." How important it is that as Christians, we meditate on the Word of God. How important as Christians that we be careful what we're putting in our minds. We have to guard and protect our thoughts. We got to be so cautious of what we're thinking about and what we're meditating upon. Stay away from trash. Stay away from garbage. Stay away from things that are not going to edify your mind, that are not going to help you stay focused on the things of the Lord. Guard your mind. That's why I always tell young people, but this also applies to older people, be careful what you hear. Now, some people say, well, music is harmless. That's the biggest lie from Satan. Because music, it has power to influence the mind. Music has power to control the mind. How many of you know that when you hear a song not long enough, the lyrics are being replayed again and again in your mind? Isn't that the truth? And sometimes you can just hear it once, and there's those lyrics. Sometimes you can just watch it once and there's those images in your mind. And Paul says, be careful. Guard your mind. Take upon the helmet of salvation. Stay focused. Make sure that your mind is set on things above. You know, Satan would love nothing better than to get you distracted from the things of the Lord and to keep you focused on the things of this world. That's what Satan wants to do. He wants to distract you. He wants your thoughts and your mind to be on something else other than the Lord. And it's so important that we keep our minds fixed on Jesus. It's so important that we keep our minds fixed on eternity. Don't lose sight of what it's all about. Don't lose sight of eternity. It's so easy to get distracted. It's so easy to get deceived. You know, I've seen it time after time. I've seen Christians that they start running the race. And as they start, they're excited and they're zealous for the things of the Lord. Some of them are even involved in ministry. Some of them are even teaching Sunday school classes or singing on the worship team. They start the race. But what happens over time, Satan begins to control their minds. He begins to distract them. He begins to deceive them. And sure enough, they stop running the race. I've seen it so many times that they start focused on eternity, but over time, they get distracted. And they start focusing on things of this world. And I don't want that to happen to me, and I don't want it to happen to you. And that's why it's so important that we listen to the Word this morning. And we make sure that we're guarding our mind. That we make sure that we're not giving any room for Satan to come and deceive us and blind us and distract us from the things of the Lord. But we got to take this word seriously. That every morning we got to put on this helmet of salvation. You know, that's so true for everyone, especially for men. Because as men, we struggle with our thoughts. Satan loves to bring thoughts of lust and thoughts of impurity to our mind. And it's so important as Christian men that we honor God with our minds. We got to be set apart in our thinking. And we got to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. That as you get up and you go to school, you go to work, or you go out on errands, put on the helmet of salvation. Allow God to control your mind and you watch. There will be a change in attitude and there will be a change in action. Put on the helmet of salvation. Let's finish up and look at the final piece of this spiritual equipment that Paul describes to us. And it's also found in verse 17. Let's read it together. Paul says, and take the helmet of salvation. And then look at what he says. This is one of my favorite verses. He said, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And so the final piece of equipment that Paul mentions is what we like to call the sword of the Spirit. Now, the sword was extremely important to the Roman soldier. The Roman soldier was never without his sword. Everywhere he went, he had his sword with him. Now, Roman swords, they were not big, long swords as we see a lot on TV, but they were probably about 2 feet long, and they were probably about 2 inches wide. They were double-edged swords, and the Romans, they were so smart in battle Because they constructed their sword specifically for close quarter combat. You see, the Romans, they would form in their ranks, their battle lines, and they would march and march and march upon their enemy, and they were protecting themselves with their shields. And so no matter what the enemy did, they were protected and guarded. And once the soldiers got face to face with their enemy, then they would take out their sword. And a lot of times, their enemies, specifically some of the barbarians, they had long, heavy weapons. And so the time it took them to swing back, the Roman soldier would take out his short sword and thrust. And that's what they were known for doing. They were known for thrusting. Even in some of the writings you read, it teaches how the soldiers were taught not to hack or to slice, but to thrust. Because a good thrust of a sword, it's going to do the job. And so they were so smart and intelligent concerning their battle equipment and their battle weapons. And so the final piece of equipment that Paul describes is the sword of the Spirit. Now, it's obvious what that is speaking of. It's speaking of the Word of God. As Christians, if we want to stand against the enemy, if we want to have success, we need to know the Word. It's that simple. We need to study the Word of God. God has given us His Word for our benefit, for our advantage. Think to yourself that in your possession, you have the Word of God, the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. This is a treasure. This is precious. The Word of God. And as Christians, we need to know it. Now, how sad that some use their Word not to read and study, but some use their Word to level out a coffee table or to put it on a shelf to fill up some space. But that is not how it needs to be. We need to know the Word. How can we use the Word unless we know it? How are we supposed to use the sword if we don't know it? If we don't study it? If we don't read it? You know, it's sad to say, but many Christians know so little about the Bible. So little. Many Christians, they never take the time to read the Word. You know, sometimes it breaks my heart when people tell me, man, I never read the Word. And they're believers. They're born again by the Spirit of God. And to them, it's just another book. They don't regard it as the Word. Because if they did, they would read it. If you believed that this is the divine Word of God, it would be the most precious possession that you have. If it really was the Word of God, which it is, don't misunderstand me, it would be precious to you. You would take it everywhere you go. You would guard it and you would keep it close to your heart. And that's how we need to be. We need to always have our sword. We must study. We must know. We must read the Word of God. Paul tells us, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's so important that we study the Word. That's why every time we gather on Sunday or on Wednesday, the emphasis is on the Word of God. The emphasis is on the teaching of the Holy Scriptures. Because here at Templo Victoria, we want to equip you. We want to prepare you. And so when Satan comes and attacks, and he will, I promise you, you're going to have your sword ready. And you're going to be able to take it out, and you're going to be able to stand against the wiles and the attacks of the enemy. When Satan comes around to tempt you, when he comes around to attack or assault you, you're going to have the sword in your hand and you're going to stand your ground. And it's the scriptures that you're going to defend yourself and do battle with. You know, in Matthew chapter 4, we see the clearest illustration of that truth. And the illustration is the temptation of Jesus. The Bible teaches us that when Satan tempted Jesus, that the Lord defended himself with the sword of the Spirit. For every temptation Satan brought, this is how Jesus responded. It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. The next temptation, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord. The next temptation, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, in him only you shall serve. For every attack Satan brought, Jesus had a verse to defend and to resist that attack. And Jesus wanted to teach us with his example of the importance of knowing the Word of God. How many of you know that every scripture is a weapon in itself? And we need to memorize scripture. Now that's what I love about Sunday school, is because from an early age, we teach children how to memorize scripture. And I think we should do that also for the adults, not just the children. It is so important to memorize scripture because every verse is a weapon. Let me give you an example. When the enemy is attacking you with loneliness, fight back with Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, where the Lord says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. When the enemy is attacking you with lust, fight back with Galatians 5:16. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When Satan is attacking you with condemnation, fight back with Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. When Satan is attacking you with stress, fight back with Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 30, where the Lord says, come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When Satan is attacking you with fear, fight back with Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. And the list goes on and on. For every attack Satan brings against us, there's a verse that we can fight back with. But it's so important that we know our sword. And this morning, I would encourage you, take up your sword. Take up your sword. Don't fight a sword fight with a pocket knife. Don't come to a sword fight with a pocket knife in your hand, but know your sword. Be prepared, be equipped. And when Satan comes, you'll be able to stand your ground. And not only stand your ground, but you'll be able to fight back. The sword of the Spirit. I was actually thinking of bringing out my dad's sword when I mentioned that point. But the truth is that that wouldn't have been the sword that the Romans used. So I didn't want to get you confused. I'm trying to find a Roman sword that I can use. And, you know, I want to carry it around everywhere I go. I don't know what the cops are going to say about that. But when I'm in the sanctuary or teaching a class, I just want to have that sword with me. Because when I look at that sword, I think of the scriptures. And I think of the reality of the battle that we're in. Man, it's a battle. It's a fight. We find ourselves right in the middle of a battle. And the Bible tells us, in order to stand in this battle, in order to stand against the enemy in his dark forces, we must put on the whole armor of God. We need to apply these truths to our lives. We need to be grounded in the truth. We need to walk in integrity. We need to know and share the gospel. We need to be completely trusting in the Lord. We need to guard our minds and our thoughts. And we need to study and know the Word of God. And in closing, I just want to say this. This morning, whatever battle you might be fighting, whatever giant you might be facing, whatever storm you might be going through, or whatever desert you might be crossing, I just want to give you this word to end with. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the battle is not yours, but God's. The battle is God's. And in Christ, the Bible teaches us that we are more than conquerors. And in Christ, we have the victory. And so this morning, whatever you're going through, whatever you're battling with, take courage. In Christ, we are more than conquerors, and you have the victory. Don't give up, don't give in, but continue to fight the good fight. For your salvation is near. And one day, you're going to see the King of Glory. And He's going to reward your faithfulness. But until that day, fight the good fight. Run the race. And keep the faith. For the battle is not ours, but it's God's. Amen. Let's stand in a word of prayer.